Okay, so Psalm 129, Song of Ascents. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Ploughmen have ploughed my back and made their furrows long, but the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, the blessing of the Lord be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Jackie. That was well read, and I deeply apologise for ambushing you on that park bench. Good morning, Whiteinch Church, and all those connecting to our community today. You are very welcome. I want to talk about the cost of freedom this morning. Our freedom begins with an act of defiance. Did you know that? Our freedom begins with an act of defiance. Christ came to set the captives free, and his coming was a courageous act of love, in that he brought the means by which we could be rescued and restored. Rescued from the kingdom of darkness and restored, translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. His coming was an act of defiance. God took away Satan's ability to oppress his people, and we are therefore not consumed. I want to reclaim the posture of believers' defiance. Just to be clear, this is not defiance as in disobedience. This is a bold, daring, audacious, obedient defiance. And this defiance is the posture Christ had as he faced the Prince of Darkness. It was the posture of the Jews as they climbed up to Jerusalem to celebrate their festivals together at the temple. And it's our posture today as we reflect on our journey so far and envision God's future for us, giving him grateful thanks, defiant in the face of all our enemies. Now, you know that at some point during this talk, I'm duty-bound to ask you all to think about your most recent act of defiance for the Lord. But before I do, I need you to agree with me that acting defiantly for the Lord is not in some way politically incorrect or in any way unseemingly aggressive. Instead, it surely is a crucial attribute of an abundant life in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is truth to us. May that word light our path this morning. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. One of my favourite films stars Daniel Craig, and it's not actually a James Bond thriller, as great as those films are. Defiance is the true story of the four Bielski brothers, who during World War II rescued and hid hundreds of Polish Jews, really, hundreds from the Nazi task forces who were sweeping Eastern Europe, systematically hunting them down and killing them. The film was released with the strapline, "Freedom begins with an act of defiance." It's a remarkable story of human endurance, a spirit of survival, and it recalls supreme heroism, and that always inspires us. Three of the brothers survived the war and moved to America to lead peaceful lives after the massive stresses of evading an overwhelming foe for 3 or 4 years. We can only imagine how disruptive this anxiety was for them, especially among a hunted community that worked hard to maintain identity and unity. For centuries, from the Egyptians opposing Moses to the Nazi concentration camps, and even in modern politics today, the Jews have faced terrible oppression and hatred. And yet they have not been consumed and are still singing. If you want a truly epic story of human endurance and spirit of survival, of dogged determination and defiance in the face of sustained enemy attention, then the Jews, they surely are real contenders. They sang as they escaped from Pharaoh, and they sang on those cold winter nights avoiding the concentration camps. They sang because it helped preserve their identity across centuries of sustained attack. It was one way of rehearsing their common unity. Now, this may describe harassed Jews walking across the Red Sea, or Jews hiking up to pilgrimage, and even those hiding in Polish forests. But does it describe us, the followers of Jesus? The eldest of the Bielski brothers, Tuwia, the natural leader of the desperate Poles, described in the film the constant arguments and splits, the defections and betrayals. Despite their strong cause and history, the pressures of their extreme situation tested them to their limits, perhaps understandably. Are these stories of oppressed Jews at all helpful for us today? Surely in the 21st century, we might have escaped from the focus of an enemy. Are we a hunted community working hard to maintain identity and unity? Well, of course, we are aware of Satan prowling around, because the Bible tells us and experience reminds us. But unlike ancient Pharaoh or Nazi Germany, he's a much more subtle adversary, which means we might just have to work a little harder. Isn't it sad that under a lot less stress than Jews have endured, we still manage to fall out, hurt each other, break away, destroy unity, and close churches even? The power of Psalm 129's words, flung with such conviction across the hills and valleys of Judah, is that we can use times when we have barely scraped through, when we were almost defeated, almost at the end of what we could endure, a step away from destruction. We can use these painful recollections to our advantage, because with the same power that rescued Christ from the grave, we can never be truly defeated. Our identity is marked with eternity. And that reality gives us the edge, because we don't need to be songwriters to be able to sing our own psalm of ascent. We have a superpower. We have confidence and certainty. And in communities under pressure, and surely all faith communities are under pressure, this conviction binds people, binds us together. Even when it seems like the whole world is against us, and particularly when some may be hell-bent on destroying us, or when we recall past challenges, it's in these God has rescued us recollections, reflections, that we gain confidence from having survived the enemy prowling around us, that we can use those lessons to our advantage. Which is exactly what the Jews climbing to Jerusalem are doing as they sing out Psalm 129. Since my youth, they have often attacked me, oppressed me, afflicted and assaulted me, but they have not defeated me. Every one of us who has called on the name of Jesus has acted defiantly, because we have actively chosen to resist the kingdom of darkness. And we are commanded to keep on doing so. 1 Peter 5:8 says this: most importantly, be disciplined and stay on guard. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like outside like a roaring lion, just waiting and hoping for the chance to devour someone. Resist him, repel, thwart and defy him, and be strong in your faith. And as we know, faith is family. It's important for us to celebrate the great festivals of our faith. Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost, Christmas Day, and so on. As important as these are, we must learn to share our own waypoints with each other, moments of shared vulnerability. This can also mean taking steps of risky obedience. When was the last time you trusted the Lord, trusted his word, a word perhaps from a stranger? In the men's group on Tuesday, some of us shared our troubles and frustrations, and we prayed, we rumbled with vulnerability. In the midst of shared need, vulnerability, remembrance, and risk, God provides. He has done for the Jews for centuries. But we can spend so much energy and time defending our differences, our opinion, our position. We can spend so much time doing that we easily lose sight of the most important posture of all, faith expressing itself through love. Those psalm-singing Jewish pilgrims took courage from their past, for they were not yet consumed. Ascending to worship God is our direction and destination. So what was your most recent act of defiance for the Lord? What would our corporate song of defiance be? What would we sing as we climbed up to worship God? May we know whose we are and defiantly live in that reality. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these psalms of ascent. I pray for the White Inch community that as we ascend, we would be vulnerable with each other. Help us to not hide our needs, but instead take risks and let others know when we need help. Help us to sing our songs and gain confidence that you are for us, with us, in us, and that nothing, no modern pharaohs nor oppressing armies, not even the very gates of hell, will crush and defeat us, because you are for us and your grace frees us for a life on purpose. Pour out your guidance and protection this day and always. Amen.